but do the work of an evangelist. That statement right there needs to be defined in our day, because it's not like what we've got being prepared in this city with Franklin Graham coming and everybody running around trying to get as many there to make some decisions. That's not the work of an evangelist. The word evangel is the word gospel. It's one who faithfully sets forth the gospel. That's a true evangelist. And Paul says, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He knew his death was near. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. It's not my faith, but the faith. That faith which sets forth Christ and his finished work is the only condition for salvation. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And he says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me.
But one day he heard that our Lord Jesus was coming that way. Now he, out of curiosity, went and says he was a small man, short. We sometimes forget what it's like to be short. Some of us do. You're kind of up here looking, and you realize they're down here looking. The perspective is a whole lot different. There's nothing wrong with being short. The Lord made us that way. Made you, or I guess I'm short compared to some people too, but the Lord purposed that even his stature caused him now to have to climb a tree. And I think about God's providence in planting that tree right there for that time in that place along that road where Christ would pass. How long does it take to plant and grow a sycamore tree? But it was exactly the right kind that he could get up into. Not too tall, not out of reach. The Lord purposed it. He got up there, never realizing what would take place. The end of all of this was not even in his mind. You can't even say, well, it's because he willed it that it happened. No. It's because God willed it. And Christ purposed to pass that way. And as far as I know, in that old crowd, the only one he came to seek was that one right there. Because he told him in verse 9, Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham, and a true son of Abraham, not just in a natural flesh, but a son of Abraham, in that here was one of those promised seed in Christ, for whom Christ came. Describes that. The Lord Jesus, same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. There wasn't a bone of Christ's body that was broken. But when it says is broken for you, that word means crushed, bruised. It pleased the Father to bruise him. And it's an apt picture of how flour is made. First the seed is sown, dies in the ground, then it grows up. It's cut down. It's taken and made into flour, and then put in the fire and burn, and then comes the bread to eat. All of that is described in this expression here, broken for you. For is in the sense of substitution. He bore that guilt and that sin. He bore it. He did not become sinful. That's why it's unleavened bread. But he bore it. He bore the consequences of it, the curse of it, that such as we might be saved.